This is the Steve Cochran Show.
A crime that would have horrified us had its victims been Americans of any background. But it's all the more heartbreaking and all the more despicable because of the place where it occurred and the patriots who were its victims.
Those who have been injured, we are rooting for them. And I know Gabby is as tough as they come. And I am hopeful that she's going to pull through. The majority of those who died today were children. Beautiful little kids between the ages of 5 and 10 years old.
We are confronting yet another mass shooting. And today it happened on a military installation in our nation's capital.
Thoughts and prayers are with the entire community. And we are going to do everything we can to make sure that the community at Fort Hood has what it needs to deal with the current situation.
Somehow this has become routine. The reporting is routine. My response here at this podium ends up being routine. Today marks the most deadly shooting in American history.
Aren't you tired of it? Not going to go away by ignoring it. Not going to go away by looking the other way. That's just a small sample of the number of times President Obama stood up and had to talk about things like Fort Hood, Gabby Gifford's Newtown, and San Bernardino, and now Orlando. It's outrageous. It's just absolutely outrageous. By the way, the House of Representatives, the People's House, responded yesterday with their 11th time of asking for a moment of silence, and then summarily dismissed the opportunity to vote on 3 common sense pieces of gun legislation. So, you know, they can look themselves in the mirror, and I hope they feel great. You got to stand up, people. You got to stand up. You got to say you've had enough. At 6:11, one of the more striking developments overnight from the shooter is that he is apparently a fraud on every level. He contacted tried to farm for information on 3 different types of radical Islamic fundamentalism: al-Nusra, al-Qaeda, actually 4 if you include the Taliban, and ISIS. Those are not connected. Radical fundamentalist Islam beliefs vary in the same way that religions vary here. The difference here is religions don't go out and murder people for the sake of doing it. So he's a religious fraud. His ex-wife said he was not religious in any way, shape, or form. He was violent and vicious. There is an actual current wife that nobody's been talking about that supplied information, including the information that was pretty striking last night, that he actually was at the Pulse nightclub somewhere between 5 and 50 times. Mm-hmm. In the last year, and he also had a profile on a gay dating site.
Right. His friend said that he had the app on his phone, the gay dating app.
And they have his phone now, so whether it still exists or not, we'll see. But the point is, was this a guy who was not some radicalized terrorist, but in fact was someone who was deeply disturbed, and then some self-hating homosexual on some level who decided to take out his anger and his darkness in the way that he took it out? That appears to be the case. So the response from the presidential candidates was interesting yesterday. Hillary Clinton did use the word radical Islam. And this labeling of it doesn't change anything, but it's what Trump is stuck on completely. And then Trump took it to a new level of stupid yesterday when Trump intimated that the president somehow has a secret Islamic agenda. And therefore, you got to remember, Donald Trump was the guy that wanted the Obama birth certificate. Remember that back in 2011?
Mm-hmm, the birther. Yep.
He had started the big birther thing, and he went on and on and on, turned into a lawsuit with Bill Maher. It was a whole thing. So if this is still percolating in the back of his orange head, then maybe this is where it comes from. But could you just stop down? Look, even if you're the most fervent Trump supporter, could you just pause for a moment and think about this? If President Obama is a secret Muslim, is this not the dumbest campaign ever? He's in his last year of the presidency. If he had some secret radical Muslim agenda, wouldn't it have made sense to execute that, say, oh, I don't know, in the first 2 years or mm-hmm. 4 years or 6 years? If he's going to overthrow the country, wouldn't it make sense to have done it by now? So, again, Trump's insanity should frighten you. I know some of you it doesn't, but it should. Yesterday, he also banned the Washington Post from covering his campaign. the gentleman that runs the Washington Post is the same guy that overturned the priest scandal in Boston. So you think he's walking away?
No.
He's seen these type of dopes before, and he'll cover Trump, and his people will cover Trump, and the Washington Post will continue to cover Trump. Trump then capped off the day by appearing with Bill O'Reilly and talking to Bill O'Reilly about the real problems in the country. And Bill O'Reilly, who does a really fair job of trying not to embarrass his old friend Don, set him up with some very easy questions. And one of Trump's concerns was for kids who may have to be blocked from coming into the country because if they're here, they'll fall in love with ISIS by listening to the internet.
Yeah, I heard that comment too. That's insane.
It's just more goes insane.
And he pressed him. I think it was O'Reilly when he pressed Trump about. No, it couldn't have been. But when Trump was pressed yesterday, I heard excerpts of the interview about not letting Muslims into the country. He said, "Yeah, he still stands by that, yeah, despite the fact the shooter was born here."
Not only was the shooter born here, somebody else pointed out yesterday that four of Donald Trump's five kids were born to immigrant mothers before they became U.S. citizens.
That is correct. Yes, including Ivana and Melania.
Yeah, so he doesn't apparently own a mirror, which again, full circle, explains the hair.
They have disappeared forever. But this is the moment we've all been waiting for. Ladies and gentlemen, the four horsemen.
And the girl horsemen. Woo! Yeah!
Are you listening, horsemen? You will get what's coming to you.
Thank you, everybody!
In ways you can't expect.
Now the greatest magicians in the world are my magic trick.
Hilarious! Now You See Me 2. Well, actually, no, it'd be Now You See Me because I missed Now You See Me 1. But maybe, I don't know. Let's go to Nick DiGilio and find out. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you, buddy?
Doing fine. Did you see it?
Good. I did, yeah.
And?
It is supremely silly. It ignores all logic. It ignores the laws of physics. It ignores the laws of gravity, and I had a fun time.
Yeah, so far it sounds like a good movie. So entertaining, bucket of popcorn, kind of getaway, yeah, kind of movie.
Absolutely. A supremely stupid film. But I don't know. I had a good time. It is a ridiculous movie. There's a scene in the movie where they have to smuggle out the four horsemen, who are these four magicians, have to smuggle out this computer chip, which they've hidden in a playing card, the Ace of Spades, of course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's it's a 5.5-minute sequence where they're passing the card from one another as they're being frisked by security. And it goes on for like 5 minutes, and the camera follows the card down the sleeves of the magician and up the pant legs. It's like card point of view. And it is just ridiculous. And as long as the scene goes on, it gets more deliriously hilarious as it goes on. I will say this: Woody Harrelson plays his own twin in this one, so they've gone to the idiotic level of actually bringing in a twin, so Woody Harrelson can play two roles. That was when the movie almost lost me. That was when I went, okay, I'll buy Jesse Eisenberg, disappearing into a river of water, splashing and then disappearing. I'll buy that, but I don't buy this whole twin brother Woody Harrelson thing.
But yeah, the only time you can play your own twin is if you're Adam Sandler.
That's right, because that was a work of genius.
Yes.
I thought it was entertaining. The Conjuring 2, I do want to say, and Now You See Me is a very stupid movie, but it's fun if you enjoyed the first one, which to me is one of those movies that at 2 o'clock in the morning when you got cable on, perfectly watchable, perfectly dumb movie. And this is just more of the same, only crazier and dumber. But I will say this, The Conjuring 2, very scary movie. And it made over $40 million over the weekend and is on par to make as much money as the first one did. But scary stuff. I mean, there's some really, really nerve-wracking and some creepy stuff in this movie. And it's a little long. It's like 2 hours and 15 minutes. I think it could be at least 20 minutes shorter, and it would have made it a better movie. But there's some real scares in it, and I just think it's a pretty solid horror film.
Why aren't people going to the movies anymore? Why do we have box office numbers that are the worst? And we're not exaggerating here. The worst box office numbers when you extrapolate the math in 100 years.
The movies that they're making, I really think it's because I think the movie going public is making a statement. I think they're saying, look, enough. Last week, The Conjuring 2, which is a good film, Now You See Me 2, which is not really a good movie, I liked it, and Warcraft, those were the three big ones. That's two sequels and a movie based on a video game. The other movies in the top 10 are Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, based on a cartoon, also a sequel. X-Men Apocalypse, another sequel, comic book movie. The Angry Birds movie, based on a video game. Alice Through the Looking Glass, sequel. Captain America Civil War, sequel. Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising, sequel. And I think people are saying, you know, like, I guess I'm not going to go see these movies anymore and spend, you know, $14 to see a film that's not original, you know? And I think the audiences are making a statement. And this weekend, the big movie that's coming out is a sequel. I mean, now granted, this one will make a lot of money, Finding Dory, you know, because it's the sequel to Finding Nemo, which is a really beloved Pixar movie. But again, yet another sequel. I can't remember a weekend this entire summer / spring where there wasn't at least one sequel released on a Friday.
So in other words, if you're not going to try Hollywood, we're not going to spend money on you.
That's the statement that moviegoers are making. Even the movies that are making money are underperforming. Even movies that you thought were going to be smash hits, like the X-Men movie, the X-Men Apocalypse, you know, completely underperformed and is going to end up being a bomb. Alice Through the Looking Glass is one of the absolute biggest bombs of the year. It's going to make about $200 million less than the original made, and that's just in America.
Johnny Depp become Mel Gibson too?
He has, you know, he's had some struggles lately, and I think it all started, if I could pinpoint it, I think it started with The Lone Ranger a few years ago. Remember, he was Tonto in The Lone Ranger?
Right, but you fold in bad box office with personal problems, and suddenly you're not getting paid anymore.
That's exactly right. He's got some other stuff on the docket that's coming up. Oddly, he's not in the next Tim Burton movie, which is shocking.
Yeah, if Tim Burton cut you off, holy mackerel.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And is Mel Gibson actually making a sequel to his biggest hit film?
The Passion of the Christ?
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
The Passion of the Christ 2, now it's personal?
Yeah. Passion of the Christ 2, more beating. I believe it's
We kind of know where this story goes. Does he? What are we doing here?
I think he's taking it from the resurrection on. I think it's from the point of resurrection, you know, to his appearance to the apostles. I think that's where he's going with it. So,
the resurrection. Okay, the resurrection happens on a Sunday.
Right.
And the appearance to the apostles happens within a reasonable period of time. Where's the rest of your movie? Because you're losing your lead pretty quickly.
Yeah, you lose your lead pretty quickly, and I don't know where you go with it. And I'll tell you something, that, you know, there's no violence in that part of the story.
And very few car chases.
I don't know what Mel Gibson is going to latch onto, because his movies that he's directed are extraordinarily violent. Apocalypto was
maybe
another film.
Maybe a cameo of Danny Glover?
Yeah, he's just going to say, you know, Jesus will come to him and he'll go, man, I'm getting too old for this crap. That'll be it. By the way, have you seen the commercials or the trailers for the Lethal Weapon TV series that's coming on Fox?
Well, I didn't even know there was one.
Oh, my God, Steve. Oh, my God.
Awful.
Damon Wayans has got the Danny Glover part, and some guy I've never heard of.
So Damon Wayans. Why don't they just call it Damon Wayans and the White Guy?
Damon Wayans and the White Guy, which I think is like half the movies he's made. is what they're called. But you want to talk about, we were just talking about unoriginality in film. So this year on TV, they've got a Lethal Weapon TV series. There's an Uncle Buck TV series that's coming on.
Yeah, African-American Uncle Buck.
Yeah, Exorcist TV series. So again, you know, unoriginality is not just, you know, in the film world at Hollywood, it's also in the TV world in Hollywood. It's all reboots.
How do you do an Exorcist TV series? You have a priest going house to house and, you know, get that devil out?
Yeah, I think it's a possession a week, man. Yeah.
So ridiculous.
I guess that's what it is.
Have all the writers left Hollywood?
I don't know, but when something does come along, and I try to champion it, a movie like Nice Guys, which is you know, it's been done before. It's a buddy cop movie, but it's a hell of a lot more original than half the stuff that's out in the theater. Nobody goes to see it. I don't understand what's going on. Maybe people just don't want to go to movies in general anymore.
Is it a Netflix thing? Is it a I-can-watch-it-at-home thing? Because I firmly believe, because remember in the 90s, we were all concerned nobody's going to leave their house anymore because look how cool the internet is. You can get a web page to load in 5 minutes. Now, you know... Now it's technologically a level up every day, every minute of the day. Are people not leaving the house?
I think that has a lot to do with it, Steve. I really do. And I also think that, you know, now that you have the option of video on demand for movies that are in theaters, because there are a bunch of movies that came out last week, you can watch at home. You don't even need to leave your house.
Yeah, I mean, shame on Hollywood. If Hollywood wants people to show up at the movie theater, don't do that.
Yeah, it's a very weird thing, and a lot of people are doing it. And then, you know, as I've said before, you know, do you remember when it took a year for a movie to come out on video?
Absolutely.
Like, you would have to wait a year. Now it's 3 months on video, 8 months cable. People can wait that long. I can wait that long to watch an X-Men movie. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't bode well for one of America's great pastimes, and that's going to a movie.
Yeah. And this week, I mean, I think that, you know, Finding Dory will be really big. But then there's this movie with The Rock and Kevin Hart called Central Intelligence. Which looks horrible, but have you seen the ad? What the catchphrase
is that one? Is that the one where The Rock was fat in high school, and then he shows up and he's super hot, and the girls all love him, and it turns out, oh my goodness, he's a CIA agent.
That's right.
That's very believable.
And then Suzanne Summers and everybody else comes out. John Ritter and everybody else comes out because it's one of those crazy Three's Company. Oh, I was so confused moments.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, but have you heard what the tagline is for this movie, Steve?
No.
Oh man, it takes a little heart and a big Johnson to get the job done.
Oh my God!
I'm not kidding.
Whoever wrote that ought to be kicked out of Hollywood. all right, you're on the radio tonight.
Oh yeah, I'll be on, and we're going to talk with Doug Cummings. Remember Doug Cummings, a reporter at GN?
Yep.
Yeah, he's written a book about public safety in light of what happened. And how to be safe in situations in the light of what happened in Orlando. We're going to talk to him right after 2 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Sounds good. There you go. Nick DiGilio news next in the form of the big story after this on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Sponsored by Rand Raymond Chevrolet. If you know a kid that goes above and beyond for family or community, nominate them for Kid of the Week. Go to WGNRadio.com. And the contest page in particular, submit an entry for a kid between 5 and 18 that you think ought to be Kid of the Week. And we'll announce that winner on the show. And then in December, Mary Vandevelde and Dave Ennett will go into a locked room for days on end. And at some point, there won't be smoke that comes out of a chimney. They'll just be screaming and banging on the door, and we'll let them out when they have a winner of Kid of the Year.
I don't think we spent days on end in a locked room last year.
We're doing it this year. We're changing it.
What?
Yeah, we're locking you in a room.
Are you giving us beverages at least?
Sure. Yeah,
okay, whatever. Thanks.
I would hope so. I'll let you and Mary work.
And
it
a
out.
Big bucket of kale.
Good.
The 2016 Kid of the Year will be awarded a $5,000 prize courtesy of Ray Chevy and Fox Late and Raymond Chevy in Antioch. And sell the inventory at rayandraymonddeals.com. Go online to WGNRadio.com/contests for the entry. Let me tell you about our Kid of the Week. This comes from Courtney, the mom of Sam. Spring break, 11-year-old Sam and his family stayed local. Making the best of it, Sam's nanny, Kristen, agreed to take Sam and his three sisters, Chloe, Sophia, and Haley, to their grandmother's pool. The kids are having a great time. The older one's doing cannonball, splashing around. Little one Haley sticking close to Kristen, waiting on the stairs. Sam, our Kid of the Week, asked Kristen to take a video of him jumping in the pool. After she shot the jump, she looked around and found little Haley face down in the water and not moving. And that's go time. Sam instinctively jumped back in the pool, pulled Haley out of the water, lied her down on the ground, gave her mouth to mouth, and instructed Sam how to do CPR. While Kristen continued to call 911 and take care of the other kids, Sam kept doing the CPR chest compression, staying calm, and doing whatever he needed to do to keep his sister alive. Shortly after the first responders arrived at the scene, what they walked into was a different outcome than they usually get. They were in awe of little Sam's calm demeanor and amazed to see how him performing CPR while saying a Hail Mary The paramedics transported Haley to the ambulance. She was blue, labored breathing, but she had a pulse. Paramedics cleared her airways, made sure she was stable, brought her to the emergency room. And at the emergency room at the hospital, it was determined Haley was going to be okay, only because her big brother saved her life.
Remember we were talking about CPR yesterday? This is so great.
Yeah, and your kids. You know, it's not just you. Your kids know it as well. Let's meet Sam. Good morning, Sam.
Hi.
You rock star. How are you, bud?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. You're 11 years old?
Yeah.
Well, first off, thanks for being such a hero. And I know you don't need me to thank you. And I know your family tells you how much they love you and how proud they are of you. But we are, too.
Thanks.
So here's the deal, buddy. For the rest of your life, no matter what goes on, you can play this card. Hey, I saved her life. Tell her to stay out of my room. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, Sam?
Yeah, I probably use that a lot.
No, not a lot. Just when you really, really need it.
All right.
What do you do when you're not saving lives, Sam?
Well...
Are you out of school yet?
Well, yeah.
Are you playing with friends? What are you doing?
Well, I'm doing running, and I'm in basketball and golf.
Well, so you got a busy summer.
Mm. Yeah.
And 11 would put you sixth grade?
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to do in seventh grade? You got big plans?
Yeah.
Anything in particular?
Not really.
Just rule the school?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you want to be when you grow up, Sam?
I want to be an architect.
An architect? Where does that come from? You know an architect?
No, I just like designing things.
What do you want to build?
Like a giant building.
Yeah, how big?
I don't know. It's a giant.
For giants? I mean, would the building be for giants or would it be for regular-sized people?
Regular-sized people, but it would be really big.
Yeah. So like a million stories?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something like, you know, cloud height, maybe above the clouds just a little bit, so when you fly your plane, you could see it.
Hopefully not crash into it, but
No. You got to be careful. That's why you get a good pilot.
It's a long elevator ride.
It would be a long elevator ride, but Sam's considering that because he's the architect. Mm-hmm. Are you artistic? I mean, can you draw stuff in general?
I'm not really good at drawing.
But you like...
I'm not really good at art. I like designing, but I'm not honestly good at art.
Well, you probably... I mean, like, are you a Lego kid? I mean, could you build stuff with Legos?
Yeah. I like, you know, Minecraft and
Legos. Oh, yeah. So, like, with Legos, what's the coolest thing you ever made?
This giant base.
Yeah.
A giant rebel hangar.
Everything's giant with you. Do you know Shaquille O'Neal?
No.
Yeah, he's really old. So what are the sports you're doing? You're running and playing golf?
Yeah.
You're a pretty good golfer?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool. Sam and I should play.
You guys should play.
Yeah.
Andre, you want to play?
I'd love to play.
You and I and Dave and Sam?
Yeah, sure. He'll crush.
He'll take our
he'll
money.
Crush us, yeah.
How many strokes are you going to give us, Sam?
I don't know.
Yeah, you shouldn't. You shouldn't be wagering.
I'll take
Sam.
A million, Sam.
Sam, you shouldn't be wagering anyway. Not until you're 12, at least. Look, buddy. In all seriousness here, what you did is a really big deal. And you know, I know you did it because you love your sister, and I know you would have done it if it was a stranger, you know, a kid you probably didn't even know. But you should be proud of yourself, and I hope you are. And I hope you encourage your friends to learn CPR so that they can react the same way. But I'm really happy to meet you, and you're an amazing kid. So thanks for being Kid of the Week.
Thank you.
All right, man, hold on.
That's my new pal. Wow. He's awesome.
It's my new pal, Sam. Now, Sam, and you guys probably don't know this because I've known Sam a long time now. Mm-hmm, I met him at 6:43.
Mm-hmm.
A couple minutes.
4 minutes.
Sam is going to be an architect, and he's going to build giant buildings.
Yeah, a million mm-hmm. stories high.
Yeah.
Giant buildings.
Yeah.
And but, I don't know why he's limiting it to regular size. People, I'll talk to him about this when we're golfing. But you could get giant people in his building.
Sure.
Why not a building for giant people?
Yeah, if you make the doors big enough, you'll be fine.
I mean, if you're a giant person, sometimes you could be smacking your heads on the doors as you're walking in. If Sam builds a building for giant people that's giant people accessible, hello. I'm just saying.
All inclusive.
Sam probably doesn't need me for ideas.
Probably not.
No, probably
Although
not.
Although keep him with you, he might save you.
I'm going to get Sam a MyPillow because this kid needs to sleep. He's got a lot of work to do. Also, a Lou Malnati's gift certificate, an app gift card, so you can go there and do a little shopping as well. And we'll get Mom a Chevy Drive, Chicago.com, a WGN Radio stainless steel travel mug, and a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. ABT is apt, app.com, LouMalnati's.com, and MyPillow.com as well. McDonald's made it official yesterday. They're moving downtown. I only get to the post office about twice a year now. Once on April 15th.
Come on.
When my computer dies and I have to file a paper copy of my tax returns. And by paper copy, I mean extension. And then one other time of the year when I need stamps. So anyway, I was walking by the post office yesterday, one of these mini post office in a strip center, and I saw Giant Shoes, and it was Ronald McDonald doing a change of address card.
Oh, was
yeah,
he there?
He was dropping it off at the post office.
God, yeah. You would think really? They'd know his address.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was a little upset. I went and talked to him. I said, "Hey, Ronnie." He goes, "Hey, Steve, what's up?" Because, you know, celebrities, we talk like that.
Of course.
We had a brief talk, and he said, "They're going to make it work." He's a little concerned about, he said, for one thing, he goes, "You know, taxes in the city, you know," and he goes, "parking in the city."
Ugh.
You know what I'm saying? But then he was trying to look on a bright side as well, you know, because he thought maybe Oprah might visit occasionally since it's the old Harpo Studios. Mm-hmm. So, and then a Hamburglar comes in, and those two pretend not to even see each other. So that's still a whole thing.
Still bad blood.
Yeah, that's not good.
Between them.
That's not good at all. But yeah, the McDonald's Corporation moving downtown. The footprint is of the Harpo Studios is such that that's where the headquarters will go. Obviously, they got a lot of people to put in those headquarters. They got to build a building.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my question. I don't know the answer to this. Maybe this is a big story. But how tall a building can you build in that part of town? Is there zoning restrictions over there? Because the tallest building over there is the United Center.
Well, they're building a lot of condos now in West Loop. That's considered the West Loop area.
But can you imagine where Harpo is if you threw up, say, a 35, 40-story building? That would be the only thing you'd see because there'd be a giant 35, 40-story building in the middle of that neighborhood.
You know, I think you say that tongue-in-cheek, but I could see them building a taller building there. Yeah, because if you go just a couple of blocks east, maybe two blocks east, there's a big, tall condo building. They just put a Target in right maybe a block away from Harpo, too. So they'll probably rebuild.
Well, check with the alderman. Who's the alderman over there?
That wouldn't be Wagsback. Well, you know, Steve, because the boundaries are so
so
not out of whack.
Call the alderman over there and see if that's the plan.
Okay.
And they have to put McDonald's University there, too.
I don't know, but are they going to leave something in Oak Brook?
A little bit, but I think they're doing the training downtown. That's what I heard. Anyway.
I wouldn't be surprised. Although that building could be a landmark, which would be a whole new can of worms, because that's where they brought all of the, you know, the building's haunted. You know, the story behind Harpo Studios. It's where they brought all of the bodies when the boat capsized on the river.
I don't know the story.
And Oprah says that the building is haunted, and when she would be there late at night.
Is that why Oprah left?
No, I don't think that's why she left the building.
Oprah said, "I'm not doing the show anymore
because the building's haunted."
I'm too tired.
But there's been
stories. Too tired of trying to give away cars. In the background, I hear "ooh, ooh." You know that'll throw you off.
No,
you get a car. You get a car, but not you, ghost.
No, she said late at night, she would hear voices and sounds, and doors would close.
Those are probably.
That was from the SS Eastland, wasn't it?
The Eastland disaster.
Yeah.
Oh. And they brought all the bodies over. In fact, that's a stop. If you take the ghost tour, why do you look at me weird? This is the stuff.
Why do I look at you weird? What's your, story?
Because, no, this is true that the Harpo Studios, they say it's haunted, and it might be a landmark building. I'll check and see if it's a landmark building.
I heard the reason Oprah left is because one day she's at work late, and she hears a noise in the hallway, and she comes out, and it's Bobby Brown having sex with a ghost. And that was the last straw. I mean, it's what I've heard. I'm not saying it's true.
This gives whole new meaning to ghost stories.
6:57 after 7 o'clock. We'll check in with ABC News in Orlando. There is something called the independent maps in an effort to redistrict the state of Illinois that we'll be talking about in greater detail next week. But Mike Madigan's trying to shut it down because it ruins his kingdom. So we'll talk about that lawsuit coming up. And I want to play for you some audio, including Samantha Bee from her show last night, where, you know, she did a nice job of summarizing the frustration that a lot of us have. And Anderson Cooper, CNN, for the most part, I don't know if they do this on all shows, but I totally agree with the policy. They don't mention the name of the killer anymore. you know, because they want to focus on the lives of the people that were killed. Nanderson Cooper opened his show last night by talking about each of the 49 victims and something about their life. Very emotional, very moving, and it's about 8 minutes long, and we can post that full clip to Twitter at Cochran Show or Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. But we'll play a piece of that as well coming up. 6:58, News Ed, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
You will notice that I'm not using the killer's name, and I will try not to do that. Part of what motivates sick people to do this kind of thing is some twisted notion of fame or glory, and I don't want to be part of that for the sake of the victims and their families. We are going through the killer's life, as I said, especially his electronics, to understand as much as we can about his path and whether there was anyone else involved, either in directing him or in assisting him. So far, we see no indication that this was a plot directed from outside the United States, and we see no indication that he was part of any kind of network.
It's FBI Director James Comey, 11 after 7. Steve Cochran Show continues live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. Our friend Eric Katursky is live in Orlando because whenever a story breaks, Eric Katursky is there. He doesn't actually have a home, I don't think, at this point. He just goes from story to story to story, and we thank you for doing it. How are you?
Hey, Steve, it's pretty grim, to be honest, but there were signs of recovery. A big vigil last night. It was so nice to see people holding hands and listening to the names of victims, singing and hearing expressions of peace and inclusion, which really were in contrast to, as you heard FBI Director Comey there say, the terrorist propaganda that appears to have inspired this attack. But there's also a more complicated picture emerging of gunman Omar Mateen. He apparently had been a regular at the club at Pulse that he shot up, and eyewitness accounts have come to the FBI to suggest that he was a regular at gay clubs, that he used dating apps to contact men. At his home, though, they found pictures of an ordinary life with a wife and a three-year-old who had a Spider-Man helmet in his bedroom. They've undoubtedly now gone through his phone to see who he was talking to and where he traveled, and so they have clues, but still no conclusions about what led him to slaughter.
So his interest in radical fundamentalist Islam was varied to the point where it looked like he was shopping around for an excuse, because he talked or researched al-Nusra and I believe the Taliban at one point, certainly al-Qaeda, and then landed on ISIS. And those are belief systems that are different. They all fall under that same umbrella, but they're different.
It's interesting. If, in fact, he was reading all this stuff and interested in all these groups, he doesn't appear to be interested in nuances. I mean, general, hatred of America, maybe,
right,
or some of the other commonalities. But that, but these groups are often at war with each other. And he made these statements over several years. At first, when the FBI talked to him in 2013, he said he talked about Hezbollah and the Boston Marathon bombers and about martyrdom because he wanted to freak out coworkers who he thought were being disrespectful of his religion. The FBI apparently found no evidence to contradict that explanation, and so they considered him not a threat. His name popped up a year later in an investigation of a suicide bomber in Syria, but ultimately that investigation focused elsewhere.
The idea that he frequented gay clubs and that he was on a gay dating site, it's easy to leap to the conclusion then that he was a closeted gay man, which ran counter to his family's beliefs and his father's radical beliefs, and there was a lot of self-hatred and all that. But we shouldn't jump to that conclusion any faster than we should jump to any others, right?
I think it's too soon, because who would know? We know his current wife is cooperating. We know his ex-wife said he had a hatred of gays and lesbians. And, how does all this square? So you could play armchair psychologist, but at the moment, I think they're still shopping for clues.
Aaron, two separate times, at least that we know of, Mateen was interviewed by the federal government and then deemed, I guess, not enough information was warranted to put him on any sort of a watch list or whatnot. Do you see that process changing now, or more information being shared? Because I think that's what is so damning, is that he was on their radar at some point, but then fell off of it.
Well, it depends who you ask. I've heard some in Congress already say that this is what we want. You want the FBI to thoroughly investigate, make a determination, and then if you're not considered a threat, to not be on any kind of a permanent watch list, or, and to still have your Second Amendment rights to buy firearms. There are those who say, you know, it should be a little bit different. So I think that the policy questions are going to have to come. The FBI, for now, stands by its investigation in 2013 and 2014. The way Director Comey detailed it yesterday, it was pretty thorough, with confidential informants, surveillance, searches, and ultimately coming up with no threat, at least none to foreshadow what he would do 3 years later.
Well, what we know is the FBI goes through hundreds of these types of people all the time. And until it elevates to a point where it's actionable intelligence, it's not. I mean, it's one of the real loopholes that they have to deal with. Did I lose you? We got a little bit of a delay. One of the things that is striking, and you open with this, is the juxtaposition in Orlando, the happiest place on earth, and the majority of people who come to town are tourists or on vacation. They're in a good mood, all of that. And now this crushing sadness there. Is the town itself, as a community, rallied around, or are we seeing a lot of out-of-towners who are coming over as well?
No, I think that there does seem to be a good sense of community here. And you know, people have remarked about how nice it is to see, and the mayor talked about how even if you didn't know anyone directly affected, that you know, you had a sense that they were living in your community. And it was a disparate group. There were Puerto Ricans. The Mexican Foreign Ministry confirmed 4 Mexican nationals were among the dead. There were people from New York who had just happened to be here. And so you get this cross-section of community, plus a particular a sadness and grief in the gay community, and we've seen that in vigils all across the country. There was one at the Stonewall Inn in New York. That's right. The place that's, you know, credited with starting the gay rights movement.
Thanks, Aaron. We appreciate it. We look forward to talking to you again. That's Aaron Kotursky for ABC News live in Orlando this morning. It's 7:18. We'll get traffic here. I want to play the Samantha Bee clip coming up. Samantha Bee was a regular on The Daily Show. Very funny. And she does a very funny show, but she has cut to finding her place in late night television very quickly as someone who doesn't put up with any BS.
Mm-hmm.
She's a terrific writer. She and her husband, I think, co-produce the show. And I don't know her. I've never met her, but I'm a fan. And I like her writing, and I like what she does. And we'll play a clip from her show last night in a little bit. Coming up at 4:08, Trump and Hillary in their own words. That's really all you need, is the two candidates in their own words. At 7:25, Samantha Bee has a late night show on, it's TBS, right?
It is TBS.
I was confused, TBS and TNT.
It's TBS, yep.
It's TBS, and I believe it's at 9:30? Is it right before Conan or right after?
You know, I watch her either online.
I know my Cracker Jack production staff is looking this up right now, so I don't look like a fool. But she does a fine job, and she's a former Daily Show correspondent. And last night she did what she does on so many occasions when there's a big story. She laid it out the way it ought to be laid out. Listen.
Here we are. Now, after a massacre, the standard operating procedure is that you stand on stage and deliver some well-meaning words about how we will get through this together, how love wins, how love conquers hate, and that is great. That is beautiful. But you know what? Fuck it. I am too angry for that. Love does not win unless we start loving each other enough to fix our fucking problems. Hey, is it okay if instead of making jokes, I just scream for 7 minutes until we go to commercial? No, it's not okay? Okay, here we go. Mass shootings have become so frequent in this country. It seems like the only thing that will stop a bad guy with a gun is another bad guy with a gun who coincidentally came to shoot up the same place. Our mass shooter du jour was Omar Mateen, born in New York. He beat his ex-wife. He'd been reported multiple times to his employer as homophobic and unhinged. And the FBI had twice questioned him for ties to terrorism. But none of these things disqualified him from legally buying a gun that shoots 45 rounds a minute. Not even his terrible mirror selfies. I think we can all agree that if you don't have one friend to hold the phone for you, your lone wolf ass doesn't get a gun.
That may be the only thing we can get Congress to pass, a selfie law.
She is fantastic, though.
Full clip, we'll put that up on Twitter and at Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. Dateline Washington, CNN reporting. Democrats chanted yesterday in the House, "Where's the bill? Where's the bill?" The loud and emotional outcry came after lawmakers observed another moment of silence for 49 people killed and many others injured in the mass shooting in Orlando. Representative James Clyburn, a Democrat from South Carolina, then rose to talk about the upcoming one-year anniversary of the deadly shooting at a church in Charleston in his home state, where 9 people were killed, and attempted to ask GOP leaders where gun control legislation and when gun control legislation would be considered. Speaker Paul Ryan gaveled down Clyburn and other Democrats, many wearing rainbow ribbons on their lapels, and ordered the House to vote on an unrelated pending matter, angering Democrats. Jim McGovern, another Democrat from Massachusetts, said, "I think people are frustrated that all we do in response to these atrocities is take 10 seconds and a moment of silence, like that's enough. The moment of silence is an act of respect, and we support it, but it's not a license to do nothing," said Nancy Pelosi, who cited that the chamber has had 11 moments of silence for the victims of mass shootings in about the last 18 months. "I think it's egregious," she continued, "that the speaker didn't allow Mr. Clyburn to speak about his own state and those that were lost there. Clyburn wants the House to act." Now, I want you to listen to this now, and you tell me. We're just to speak amongst yourself and the voices in your head in your car. I know I do. You tell me which of these measures is outrageous, egregious, and unfair. Clyburn wants an action taken on the Charleston loophole. The Charleston loophole allowed gunman Dylan Roof to buy weapons since a background check that he would have absolutely failed was not completed in 3 days. That's the loophole. If the background check's not completed in 3 days, you get the gun. The second would prevent people on the FBI's terrorist watch list from buying guns. That's now a constitutional argument. The third would block anyone convicted of a hate crime from buying a gun. So let's review. You've been convicted of a hate crime. Seems fair that you shouldn't be able to get a gun. You're on the FBI terrorist watch list that'll keep you off airplanes. Yep, again, I think it's probably fair that you shouldn't have a gun. Or we weren't able to complete your background check in 3 days. How about this? How about you have to wait 3 more days while we complete the background check because you don't get the gun until we complete the check?
How about you have to wait 30 days?
Well, but this is just reasonable. What we're asking for is completely reasonable here. That's why Congress continues to fail you as a people. Anderson Cooper opened his show last night on CNN by remembering those and not speaking about the one that killed all of the people and injured all of the people. We don't have time to play this full clip here. But again, it's very powerful. We'll put this up on Twitter and Facebook as well at Cochran Show and Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. The people that died, this is painful. But Anderson Cooper opened the show with it and talked a little bit about each one of them.
But in the next 2 hours, we want to try to keep the focus where we think it belongs, on the people whose lives were cut short. And we're going to start tonight by honoring them. There are more than a list of names. There are people who loved and were loved. There are people with families and friends and dreams. And the truth is, we don't know much about some of them. We want you to hear their names and a little bit about who they were. Edward Sotomayor Jr. He worked at a travel agency that catered to the gay community. His family says he was witty, charming, and that he always left things better than he found them. He was 34 years old. Stanley Almodovar III. He was a pharmacy technician. He was the last video that we saw of him. It was posted on social media that showed him laughing and singing on the way to that nightclub. He was just 23. Juan Ramon Guerrero. His cousin said Juan came out to his family just this year and was afraid they might not accept him, but they did, and they embraced his boyfriend as well. He was 22. Christopher Andrew Leonone, known as Drew. He was Juan's boyfriend, and his mom says he established the Gay-Straight Alliance at his high school. He was 32 years old.
If you live in a world where you can't accept the fact that gay people are entitled to love who they love, and it's really none of your business or my business, you're not going to connect with that. But as a human being, I don't know how you can't connect with that. You know, and it's not about your religious beliefs or mine. It's just heartbreaking. It's crushing. When are we going to do something? When are you going to do something? When am I going to do something? When are we going to do something?
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
The Orlando terrorist may be dead, but the virus that poisoned his mind remains very much alive.
I refuse to be politically correct. The days of deadly ignorance will end.
As president, I will make identifying and stopping lone wolves a top priority. I believe weapons of war have no place on our streets.
When I'm elected, I will suspend immigration from areas of the world where there is a proven history of terrorism against the United States. Hillary Clinton, for months, and despite so many attacks, repeatedly refused to even say the words radical Islam.
Whether you call it radical jihadism, radical Islamism, I think they mean the same thing. I'm happy to say either.
The label doesn't mean anything. It doesn't. Sorry. If the label makes you feel better because you think people get that it's radical fundamentalist Islam propaganda, great. But everybody involved in the investigation knows when it happens and when it isn't. And what's the first thing we did? We jumped to a conclusion that this guy is a radical Islamic fundamentalist terrorist, an Islamic terrorist. And now it appears he may have been an angry, closeted gay man who took out his anger on 49 people. Well, really, when you add the injured, what, 102? Take a breath, Steve. 7:45. We'll come back and play a little more in-depth sound. Before we get to that, Mary, what do you have with the cars?
Well, we have this Metro delay, Union Pacific West Train 26 due in at 7:55, running about 50 minutes late. Inbound Eisenhower is an hour 5 from 53 and 45. Heading out, Stevenson about 50 in from the tri-state. Only 40 on the Kennedy in both directions. Inbound Eden's 26 and the Ryan's 22 from 95th. Just delays northbound on the tri-state 75th to 290. Not too bad on the rest of the tollways. Traffic sponsored by Account Temps. Business needs can change in an instant. Account Temps flexible staffing solutions provide accounting and finance professionals whenever you need them. Visit AccountTemps.com. AccountTemps, the Robert Half Company. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
Hillary Clinton was talking about lone wolves a moment ago. Here's a little more in-depth on that from a Clinton speech yesterday.
We must attack it with clear eyes, steady hands, unwavering determination, and pride in our country and our values. The threat is metastasizing. We saw this in Paris, and we saw it in Brussels. We face a twisted ideology and poisoned psychology that inspires the so-called lone wolves, radicalized individuals who may or may not have contact and direction from any formal organization. As president, I will make identifying and stopping lone wolves a top priority.
Now, you can easily go backwards on every politician's words that they've ever said. Hillary Clinton was absolutely Secretary of State when ISIS came to power, when Syria was still in play, and when President Obama drew his magical red line that he never did anything about. So the argument that Hillary Clinton was somehow complicit in allowing ISIS to develop is an argument you can absolutely make. Having said that, you can take any politician and back them up to a point that will be convenient for your own argument. ISIS actually started in an Iraqi prison with a low-level Iraqi, al-Baghdadi, who now runs ISIS, who was allowed to be a preacher in all areas of the prison because he wasn't considered a threat. You want to back that up? Let's back that up. Let's back that up to Clinton's last term when he had a shot at Osama bin Laden, and he didn't take bin Laden out. That didn't work for you? Well, then let's back it up to Ronald Reagan and the end of Ronald Reagan's second term when we ended it in Afghanistan, but instead of finding the money to build schools and try to develop Afghanistan at that point after supplying the arms and weapons to Osama bin Laden and his people, we just left. You can just back it up all the way. So how about we stop backing it up, and how about we just talk about the present? who is best suited to take care of this country from the office of the president? These two? Hillary Clinton on Americans need to stick together. Listen.
This is a moment when all Americans need to stand together. No matter how many times we endure attacks like this, the horror never fades. The murder of innocent people breaks our hearts, tears at our sense of security, and makes us furious.
Bill O'Reilly had Donald Trump on last night, and O'Reilly tries to, you know, put Trump in a position to say things that, you know, aren't going to make it worse for Trump. See how that worked out.
You know, Bill, we've discussed this. You know, there are good, loyal Muslim Americans who love this country, have died for this country.
True.
Do you believe
true,
that
I have
there
many
is,
friends?
Do you believe that there is a danger now that because of your hot rhetoric about the topic, and I agree with some of what you're saying, but do you see that you could be contributing to a demonization of all Muslims in general? Is that possible?
No, just the opposite. I really believe it's just the opposite. I have many friends, you know that. I've said it before. I have many friends who are Muslim. I get calls from many people thanking me who are Muslim, thanking me. I have some incredible friends, some wonderful friends. Some are very successful, some aren't. But I have many Muslim friends, and they're thanking me, many of them. Not all of them, but many of them.
That was just in that abbreviated clip, six mentions of the words friends. Samantha Guthrie, yesterday on the Today Show, on Trump's congratulation tweet stream from Sunday. Listen.
I've been receiving tens of thousands of tweets, literally tweets and calls and letters and everything, because I've been the one that predicted it, and I'm the one that said what you should be doing, and I don't want the credit. And I said in there, well, I appreciate your nice statements.
But at the same time, you're calling attention to the credit you received.
I want you to be strong. What I said is I want you to be strong, I want you to be vigilant, and I want you to be smart. I don't want the credit.
But
I don't want people to tweet that.
But by the very nature of stopping and saying, in fairness, literally everyone predicts that there will be another terrorist attack. There's no one who doesn't recognize that that's the world we live in.
Well, the president doesn't know because he certainly doesn't do much about it in terms of intelligence, in terms of
intelligence. But why are you giving yourself credit for predicting something that everyone knows will happen, sadly?
Oh, I don't know that everyone knows.
That was yesterday on the Today Show. Again, these are just facts. It's not me. This is just facts. Donald Trump said he got tens of thousands of tweets congratulating him on being right. The Washington Post and other places went back and checked, including NBC News. There were four tweets. Now, tens of thousands is a number. Four is a number. Maybe he's not good at math. But tens of thousands is a lot more than four. Donald Trump has a plan going forward for how to handle all of this, and he's going to let us know about it soon. But in the meantime, he wants you to know that he's keeping an eye on President Obama.
We're led by a man that is a very, very look,
right.
We're led by a man that either is not tough, not smart, or he's got something else in mind. And the something else in mind, you know, people can't believe it. People cannot believe that President Obama is acting the way he acts and can't even mention the words radical Islamic terrorism. There's something going on. It's inconceivable. Right. There's something going on. Well,
the radical Islamic terrorism that Trump wants Obama to use is irrelevant. Having said that, this is part and parcel to his birther argument from a few years ago. And I'll just say what I said earlier in the show. If President Obama is a secret Muslim with a secret mission to overthrow the country, he sure has taken too long. His gig's almost over. And even if you're the most ardent Trump supporter, don't you think if Obama was a secret Muslim, he would have kicked this plan in a while ago? 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 12, 13, 14, or 15, or even in the first few months of 2016. I don't think this is something you do, say, in November.
It's such an insane...
The whole secret Muslim overthrow.
It's an insane theory. I mean, come on. It's a complete red herring.
I refuse to slam Donald Trump. You know that about me. It's 7:53. We're back after this on 720 WGN.
gets you some new bumps. What are you playing?
Sounds like a carnival.
Jake, turn your microphone on. Accept your punishment. What is this?
I don't know even the name of the song, but I enjoy it. Puts me in a good mood.
Did Kevin take all of the bumps that I loved with him when he went to Rose Show?
No, 1970s did, actually. So I'm okay. Trying to help you out just a little bit.
Now you're going to go back to those. I have a feeling soon. Either that or we're going to have some sort of It's a Small World rally. What was that?
Is that Yoko Ono?
That did sound like It's a Small
Yoko
World.
Yoko Ono.
Didn't it? It's a small, small world. See, even get that in your head.
Yeah, we'll have to get a boat. It's a very heavy, heavy, heavy couple of days, and I think we all need a break from it at one point or another. So who would like to hear the story of a man sailing around the world with his chicken?
I would.
Who would like to hear the story of a man and his chicken?
Please, Uncle Steve.
Monique may be the most well-traveled chicken in the world. She is currently sailing around the world with her 24-year-old owner. You know, most times you have a chicken owner, the chicken doesn't survive that long. But this chicken owner is Aguirre Soudé.
Yes.
In 2014, they completed a transatlantic journey and then moved on to the Arctic Ocean in 2015. They're currently hanging out in Greenland.
Is this like his pet?
Apparently.
He's not going to eat this, though, right?
Oh, I think if something happens on the boat.
Oh.
Monique never gets seasick, knows how to swim. And is crazy about flying fish, according to the web updates. While she's almost fallen overboard more than once, she always manages to right herself. She enjoys sharing Soudé's meals and pays him back with plenty of eggs and plenty of pictures.
Oh, that's weird.
So I believe, there's very few things you can say this, but I believe that you can get a very direct Google hit on this and not have to wade through a bunch of Google search results. If you Google man sails with his chicken, I'm pretty sure you can get the story.
Or we can just call it, we can just Google Monique the chicken.
Monique the chicken. See, if you go, I could be wrong, but if you Google Monique the chicken, I think you're going to get a lot of different things. If you Google man sails with chicken, I think you're going to get a specific story.
I'm going to try it.
I think you're right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Well, look at the time, 8:14. We'll get to Dean here, and we'll take a little break for traffic, and then we'll come back and we'll do more Dean. Adam Levine in the news, Bill Murray in the news, Lil Wayne in the news. Is Lil Wayne going to be okay, Lil Dean?
Lil Wayne's going to be okay, Lil Stevie.
Eric Clapton in a sad story. You got a lot of sad stories here.
I do.
And we have more show business deaths, including Judy Jetson. Judy Jetson died, and... Dave, I know that was one of your favorites. You were always a big Judy fan.
I'm very distressed to hear this.
Yeah, yeah. So you're distressed. Imagine how George feels.
Yeah. What was George still alive? The maid's name?
The maid? Oh, the robot maid? The
robot maid?
Rosie the Riveter. Rosie the robot.
Rosie
the Riveter. Rosie the robot.
But Judy, Judy was the daughter, though.
Judy was the teenage daughter.
Yeah. Jane was the wife.
Jane, his wife.
Jane, his wife.
Oh, the daughter died. Wow, that's sad. How about
Elroy?
She was 90.
Is Elroy okay?
His boy, Elroy.
Yeah.
Astro the dog.
Yeah, anybody have any Flintstone questions? Because I kill you on that. No? Nothing? Okay. I got nothing on the Jetsons. I used to like the Jets, the Honeymooners. I used to like the Jetsons, you know, and as a kid, you know, I'd watch the Jetsons, but something about it never worked.
It
just wasn't believable.
I haven't watched. Here's this on that.
Did you have a treadmill outside your house, Dean?
Well, people do have treadmills now, not outside to walk. Yeah. Well, some people, I guess, put their dogs on treadmills. But if you look at that show now, and I haven't in years, but much of the technology that was on the Jetsons then is how we live our lives now.
Okay, you really got to get out of your TV.
FaceTime, right, Dean? FaceTime?
Yeah, FaceTime. Uh-huh.
Well, except for the flying cars, though.
Skype?
Yeah.
Speak for yourself, Andrew.
Oh, sorry, Dean.
Yeah.
How do you think I get back and forth from Bradley Place to Tribune Tower so quickly?
Very true.
By the way, there is a disturbing news. I don't know if these things come in threes, but you know who else died was the guy that played Elf.
Sorry. Oh, yeah.
Guy inside the costume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the guy that played Elf and Judy Jetson. You know what they say about cartoon characters? They come in threes.
Oh, no.
And the lady who invented the beehive.
There you go. What?
There we
the
go.
Beehive hairdo.
Beehive hairdo.
Well, that's not a cartoon.
Well, yeah, it is because Marge Simpson wears one.
All right, good tie.
All
right, they all work. There you go. There's your three. That's good news for you know, other cartoon characters who are feeling a little sickly today.
Will this madness ever stop in 2016?
Hold on a second. I'm being told in my head that Steve Grzanich does an Elf impression.
Elf?
Yeah, I'd ask him, but he's abandoned his news chair, which he does 40 minutes of each hour.
Because I thought you meant Will Ferrell on that Christmas movie for a minute.
I thought you did, too. I thought you said Elf, but you meant to say Elf.
No, I said Elf.
But it sounds like you're saying Elf.
You sure?
A-L-F.
Just a reminder that this is what's coming out of WGN right now.
Here's
this
Steve.
Is all that's coming out of WGN right now.
Hey, this is the
I didn't
top
say
rated.
Elf. I said Alf. I said Alf. You said
Steve Grzanich, you do an Alf impression?
Hey, Willie. Hey, Willie. Give me a cat.
All right, it's 8:18. Good
all
job.
Right, all right, thanks.
It's 8:18.
This is what's coming out of WGN right
now. Can I just
get coffee now?
Did you know my Walk of Fame plaque just moved from Cicero somewhere out into Tinley Park?
To Peoria. Hey, you're just going downstate.
It's going farther and farther away from the tower.
Can I just distance myself from all of you? I never watched one episode of Elf.
Oh, you missed a wonderful show.
Alrighty. I feel so much better with my statement.
I feel like we should go to traffic, but I hate to deprive the listeners of this great radio.
Do you know what Elf stood for?
Yeah.
That's coming up in a little while.
That's exciting. Stand by for that. Mary, what do you have in the cars? Because people may want to have actual information.
It's round three of the countdown.
Jake, the producer Jake just said in my head, I got to get Dean back for this. Dean, you there?
Yep.
Dean's a channel 9. Producer Jake just said, I want you to tell me if I should fire him over this.
Okay.
Because I fire him like twice a week.
Okay.
Producer Jake just said in my head, I think that was the best segment of the show.
Yes.
Well, you know, it was the most upbeat because we're dealing with a lot of heavy news this week.
It wasn't upbeat. It was idiotic.
Yeah. As I said, a little upbeat.
Or idiotic straight ahead.
I've already clipped the like the last 5 minutes of the show for your Walk of Fame induction. You know how we play some audio, some significant audio from that person? This is the clip that we're going to play. Alf. No, it's Alf. 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 Ew. Alf. What?
And everybody in the audience, they cock their head like a puppy that heard a weird noise.
Yeah.
You don't have a face.
Yeah. There's nobody listening. Don't worry.
Yeah. That's a good point. Jimmy DeCastro, the guy that runs this place, has texted me, and he said, what makes you think you're getting a plaque in Tinley Park?
Yeah, I'll decide that.
It's 8:20. I'm going to push this button now. I'm going to push this button. Don't touch anything. I'm going to push this button right now.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
Back to Dean now, live from Channel 9.
We continue our coverage of the death of the actor who played Alf.
And what does Alf stand for?
Alf, I just thought it was a nickname that they chose for this creature, but it actually stands for alien life form.
Alien life form. Well, that explains why Grzanich
did you guys know that?
I never watched that show.
Grzanich, what planet are you from?
Earth.
So you claim.
That's what they all say, Steve.
Hey, Willie.
All right, Adam Levine.
Hey, wait, I got to tell you the name of the actor who died.
Oh, what's his name?
If we're going to have an obituary, you got to include the guy's name. His name was Michu Mezaros.
What's his real name?
A Hungarian actress, 33 inches tall. He would get into
so
the...
So is Kristen Chenoweth.
Get into the little costume, into the little thing when it was time to do these scenes.
I don't remember Alf moving around.
Yeah, remember? Yeah, you do. Like a
Muppet. I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
I think I know better than you do on this. He was, of course, you know, there was like a puppet. It was like
I think
a puppet.
Dean and I have turned out to be the old couple that's been married for 60 years. Yes, you do remember.
Wait, I'm doing my calendar. When's your anniversary again?
This was a Hungarian actor who was in Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. Mm-hmm. He would get into the Alf costume.
Yeah, I know.
You know, for the scenes that you remember so well.
It's terrific.
So and what that happened concludes our obituary for Michu.
So I heard Judy Jetson was hit by a drunken Joe Rockhead after leaving the Water Buffalo Lodge on the Flintstones. Is that true?
I believe you have your cartoon families incorrect on that. Although there was one episode in which a mashup, Flintstones and Jetsons, where the Jetsons or the Flintstones were accidentally sent into the future.
Well, that's because they lost their minds. That's when they jumped the shark. You know, Gazoo shows up, the great Gazoo, and it turns out it was just Fred hallucinating because he got some bad meth. I mean, the whole thing was a mess.
The person who did the voice of Judy Jetson from the time that the show debuted in 1962 until it ended in 1987, how about that for a run, was a voice actress by the name of Janet Waldo. She got her start first on radio, did a few movies, but really became one of the classic voices of the Hanna-Barbera cartoons. She was also Josie on Josie and the Pussycats. She was Penelope Pitstop on The Wacky Races. She was Morticia in the Addams Family cartoons. She did voices on the Smurfs and the Flintstones and many more animated features, but will be best remembered as Judy Jetson. Get this, she was 96 years old.
Wow, that's a pretty good run.
96 years old, so she was, in her 40s when she did the voice of this teenager.
I got to ask you a question because this picture has popped up a couple times on Channel 9 this morning. And I like Eric Ferguson. I know Eric of Eric and Kathy. And he's, you know, I like him. I like him fine. And I salute him on his success. I keep reading things that he nearly died. He's got a black eye and a cut on his nose. How did he nearly die?
He was in a, he was riding a Wave Runner.
Judy Jetson?
walking his dog Astro on a treadmill. He was on one of these Wave Runners, like a little personal water vehicle in Wisconsin. He was up in Wisconsin. Yeah. And apparently the thing exploded. He goes flying 15 feet into the air. And
well, who said he nearly died? Did he say it or somebody else?
I never heard that.
All right, I'm looking at the Robert Feeder piece now. He said the EMTs arrived and thought they were pulling a body out of the water. Okay, a little dramatic, Eric. You got a black eye and a cut on your nose.
He had some bruises and needed some stitches.
Okay. Well, I'm just glad he's okay because the city needs him.
The world really needs him.
All right, so we got a bunch of problems in music. Eric Clapton can't play guitar anymore?
He is suffering from nerve damage. Once considered to be one of the greatest guitarists in the world, still considered to be one of the greatest guitarists in the world. He's been officially diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy. The nerve damage actually started in his lower back, and he says now feels like electric shocks going down through his leg
and also
affecting his arms.
Coincidentally, do you know who else could really play guitar? Mr. Spacely from Spacely Sprockets.
Not know that.
Yeah, that's a true story.
Yeah.
What about Lil Wayne? What's going on there?
Lil Wayne was flying from a concert in Milwaukee back home, has a seizure on the private plane in which he was flying. So the plane does an emergency landing. Paramedics are there waiting for him, but he refuses treatment. Plane takes off again. He has a second seizure. Plane turns back. And he is saying that he's been epileptic for years. It says having seizures like that, not uncommon for him. He just didn't think that the seizures were a big deal. He's under his own doctor's guidance right now. They say he's in stable conditions, but I don't know anything about epilepsy, but two seizures like that kind of quick, that doesn't sound so normal even for an epileptic.
I don't know. I don't know either. I don't know if that's normal at all. Bill Murray is getting the Mark Twain Comedy Award.
Yeah, that's a nice honor for and
Judy Jetson would have gotten it if she hadn't died.
She was not in eligibility for that, sadly, this year.
Okay.
I think in 2 years, Judy Jetson will be available for that honor, but he will get the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. They're going to give that out at a big ceremony at the Kennedy Center in October.
Adam Levine from The Voice, the show where The contestant from The Voice was murdered in Orlando on Friday night prior to the Saturday Night Massacre. Totally separate incident.
Yeah.
He's going to pay for what?
He's going to pay for the funeral. He's going to pay all the travel expenses for her family. Christina Grimi will pay all of her travel expenses for family to attend the funeral that will take place in New Jersey. That was the first horrible incident that took place in Orlando over the weekend. It's just been relentless. Hasn't this weekend just been...
Brutal. Just absolutely brutal.
You just
brutal.
Feel like you got or repeatedly get socked in the stomach.
Absolutely brutal. And Dean's got a collection of late-night TV reacting to Orlando, including some great stuff from Samantha Bee from last night as well that we played earlier. So check that out. Thank you, buddy.
All right.
It's 8:31. We'll come back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:41, Steve Cochran Show continues. This is show number 670 at Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. 312-981-7200, texters, and also phone calls. The independent map controversy is getting a little bit louder and is now a lawsuit. The people of Illinois want to change the state constitution, according to the independent map people, so lawmakers don't draw their own districts. Now, the Republicans have certainly taken advantage of this in the past, but it's most egregious now under the leadership of my favorite guy, Mike Madigan, where if you look at the map of districts in the state of Illinois, it looks like you took a plate of glass, threw it on the ground, and it broke.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah, wherever those shards ended up, that's what the districts look like. There's no sense to it. There's no logic to it. They are specifically drawn to create a Democrat-controlled House and Senate. Independent Maps is a nonpartisan coalition, raised $3.6 million and circulated thousands of petitions because lawmakers won't do the job to take care of you and the people of the state of Illinois. Those lawmakers can't possibly harbor any doubts that their constituents want the change. However, Mike Madigan's people yesterday filed a lawsuit against Independent Maps. The group submitted its petitions last week, assembled in a single binder. It was 35 feet thick, the petition.
Oh, I believe it.
By the way, you can't pick that binder up at Staples. That's a custom binder. And contained twice the number of signatures required to survive the inevitable challenge before the State Board of Elections. The attack launched Wednesday in Cook County Circuit Court, actually last Wednesday in Cook County Circuit Court, was from Michael Casper, general counsel of the Illinois Democratic Party, chaired by Madigan, filed a lawsuit claiming the proposal runs against the rules under which citizens can amend the Constitution. In other words, Madigan's people are going to try to nitpick it to death. Delegates back in the 1970 Constitutional Convention were careful not to give citizens broad power to rewrite the document. Most changes must originate through the General Assembly or at another convention. But the Constitution specifically authorizes citizens to amend Article 4, which deals with the legislative branch. The independent map amendment is precisely the sort of change contemplated by the people who authored the Constitution. Partisan lawmakers have hijacked this once-a-decade redistricting process to serve their own interest at voters' expense, and it's part of the reason we're in the mess we're in, because Madigan and his people have never had more power.
Yeah. They had 300,000 validated signatures on that petition. And to give you an indication, I know you say you're not, you know, you're picking on Mike Madigan, but Chicago Congressman Bobby Rush, right, represents a portion of Chicago. His district extends all the way down almost to Will County, 30-plus miles away.
Makes total sense. Total sense. I mean, why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't it? Bobby Rush does a lot of work for the people 30 miles south.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
By the way,
you are being absolutely taken to the cleaners by the state of Illinois. The state of Illinois is stealing your thunder. The state of Illinois, more importantly, is stealing your money and is stealing your authority. By the way, as you know, everybody who is currently in a position of leadership in the state of Illinois is welcome on this show to argue that point, because you know it's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's an absolute outrage. One of the people in charge of independent maps is going to be appearing on a show. And I don't want to say who yet, because it's kind of a cool surprise. Mm-hmm. And he's not technically in charge, but he's volunteering his time. He's got plenty to do, but he's volunteered his time to be a big part of this. And just give you a little hint, he used to be a big shot in this building.
Oh.
Yeah.
It is bizarre, though, that the lawmakers who are in are essentially drawing their own boundaries.
That's exactly what they're doing. Once every 10 years, depending on who's in power at the time, you get to make up the map. This is a type of there's only one word for it, and I can't say it. This is a type of S word that needs to stop, because everything that's gone on in Springfield has been designed to keep those in power in power.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not even touching on the fact that Madigan runs a title company, law firm here, which he's made millions of.
Yes. I think a nonpartisan group, this is crazy, a nonpartisan outside group should come in and redraw everybody's districts.
Well, that's the goal of this. The goal of this would be independent maps would change the Constitution to create that type of leverage. So right. That's what would happen. And so you couldn't have this again.
They don't get a say. By the way, Steve Brown released a statement today. Remember how last week Michael Madigan sent an email out through one of his spokespeople saying that the session last Wednesday was canceled? The session for tomorrow has now been canceled as well. That came from a 3-sentence email that Steve Brown sent out to the House this morning.
Do you have the email?
I do have the email. You want me to read it to you?
Sure.
The Speaker authorized the following statement concerning the schedule of the Illinois House. And I quote, legislators from the House and Senate continue on Tuesday to meet in bipartisan working groups on a number of issues, including workers' compensation, collective bargaining, and working to reach an agreement to end the state's budget impasse. These groups continue to meet at the request of the governor and Republican legislative leaders, and the Speaker believes these discussions should continue uninterrupted, that all sides should focus on the progress that has been made and allow the working groups to continue so we can end the budget impasse quickly. Therefore,
quickly? What is your definition of quickly, a clown?
Therefore, the House will not be in session on Wednesday, June 15th.
Right. Once again, you are paying for legislators not to even drive to Springfield and show up to do their job. This is the government. You get the government you deserve. And this is the government that you continue to vote in. So as the state of Illinois' bond rating continues to drop, credit rating continues to drop, and we become a complete joke nationally, you will feel the business impact. You will feel the impact in your schools. You'll feel it again and again and again. Eventually, it's going to get to your front door, and something will be specifically taken away from you. But don't think you're not already impacted by it. Everything that goes on in the state, everything the state doesn't pay for, comes back to you. So whether it's a big property tax hit that's upcoming, a big sales tax hit that's upcoming, the fact that you're going to have your kids in schools, if they in fact even go back to school in the fall, where teachers are going to have to deal with classroom sizes that are bigger than ever before, and your kids aren't going to be able to get the education they want. It's all because of selfish, power-hungry creeps that are running the state of Illinois. And by the way, if you think I've forgotten about my own mental health exam, I haven't. The events of the weekend obviously take priority, but we're hoping... Sandberg, come here for a second. We're hoping that Dr. Michelle Epstein will be able to join us to administer my mental health exam first, because I'm going to take a mental health competency exam, and I don't know how many questions it is. We'd like to do it on the air,
yeah,
because it's more entertaining if we do it on the air. But if she needs to administer it to me off the air, we can do that as well. But I'm going to take a mental health competency exam, and then I will insist and ask you to do the same. I insist that the four tops and the governor also take the competency exam. So is Dr. Epstein going to help us with that?
Yes, she is.
Okay. Do we know when?
She was on holiday, mm-hmm. So we're going to touch base when she returns.
Have we talked about what the questions will be?
Yes. And
because I used to cheat a lot on tests in school. Can I cheat on this?
I'm going to say, actually, she's concerned that you're going to be found not fit for radio hosting.
Oh.
So.
Oh, there's no standards for that. Have you heard of the stuff that's on the air?
We better have a plan B.
No, there's no competency standards for a talk show host. Come on.
What?
The nuttier you are, the better.
Maybe.
I don't think I'm nutty enough. But we'll do that as soon as she gets back from her vacation.
Yes.
All right, good. Now we continue on 720 WGN and the Steve Cochran Show. You can get the podcast that we put up every day by going to all the fine places podcasts are displayed, your WGNradio.com or your WGN Radio app, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, your Apple situation as well, right? Yeah. Right? Couldn't you get your iTunes?
All of the above,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. How about on the Hulu? Is it on the Hulu?
I don't know. Is he on the Hulu?
Is it on the Netflix?
No, you're not on the Netflix.
It's on the Netflix. So. No.
It's not on the Netflix or the Hulu?
Nope.
Nope.
Hmm. Netscape? Is it on Netscape?
I don't think you're on that either.
Prodigy?
Probably not.
CompuServe?
CompuServe. You're on CompuServe.
Is that your dial-up modem?
It's podcasts are great because it's snippets of the show. Like, for instance, that great Jetsons chunk from earlier this hour, I'm sure will be up.
And the Alf.
And the Alf discussion.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. All of that will be up later this morning. So please pick up a podcast and give it a listen. And I think you'll enjoy it.
But don't judge us just based on that. Listen to a multitude.
Well, you can judge. You know, if you want to judge, what am I going to do? Judge away.
Way to sell it.
Donald Trump has banned the Washington Post from covering him. I'm not sure Donald Trump understands this, but you can't actually ban someone from covering you. But the First Amendment is optional under President Trump. Here is a list of other publications and reporters and reporting agencies that have been banned by Donald Trump. The Des Moines Register.
Your kit? What? Why?
In 2015, Trump's campaign denied credentials to the Des Moines Register because Trump was unhappy with the coverage. Politico. The number one political news website.
Des Moines Register, also, by the way, is the paper that revealed that he didn't give all of the donations he said he was going to give to
the
veterans.
Well, that he should have banned them. Yeah. In March of 2016, Politico reporter Ben Schechinger had his credentials to a rally taken away after a critical piece of information. BuzzFeed.
Oh,
BuzzFeed
gotta,
out.
Got to have BuzzFeed.
The new Tri-State Defender. This is a newspaper outside of Memphis. The New York Times, The Daily Beast, Univision, The Huffington Post, The National Review, and Mother Jones. This is just a partial list of the various places Donald Trump has said can no longer cover him. It's tremendous.
Well, they can only hope to get back in, right? Because he and Megyn Kelly had that big fallout, and now they're friends again.
Well, here's
they're
the
besties.
Thing. It's another fine reason why he's going to be a terrific president if he tries to stop freedom of the press in this country. The editor of the Washington Post happens to be the same editor who took down the Catholic sex scandal while he was running the Boston Globe.
Yeah. Spotlight, they made a movie about.
That's the movie, Spotlight. Yeah.
Excellent movie. Movie that won the Oscar.
The Washington Post coverage of Donald Trump as what that's upset him, including yesterday when there was a headline that basically indicated that Trump was trying to side President Obama with terrorism and his secret Muslim life. Hey, is that a reality show, My Secret Muslim Life? Because maybe that's what Obama can do afterwards, based on Donald Trump. Here's a Trump tweet. Based on the incredibly inaccurate coverage of the reporting, the record-setting Trump campaign, we are hereby revoking the press credentials of the phony and dishonest Washington Post.
I find the political press to be unbelievably dishonest.
The Washington Post editor, the man featured in Spotlight, is a guy named Martin Baron.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what Martin Baron said. Donald Trump's decision to revoke the Washington Post press credentials is nothing less than a repudiation of the role of a free and independent press. When coverage doesn't correspond to what the candidate wants, then a news organization is banished. The Post will continue to cover Donald Trump as it has all along, honorably, honestly, accurately, energetically, and unflinchingly.
Marty Baron, by the way, Lee Schreiber played him in Spotlight,
yeah,
so it's that character,
yeah,
or it's that man.
So if you want to mess with the guy that took down the Catholic Church in Boston hiding a sex scandal, good call, Trumpster. One other Trump story from yesterday, which I'm not sure it happened yesterday, but I still find it tremendous. The 14th Amendment is the amendment that allows children born to immigrants in America to have a shot at citizenship. In part, that's not all of the 14th Amendment, but that's an interpretation of the 14th Amendment. Donald Trump wants to get rid of the 14th Amendment. This is one of the statements he's made because it's unconstitutional. All right, wait for it. In other words, the Constitution is unconstitutional. There are no words. It's 8:58. The news is next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's from the movie The Nice Guys, which you haven't seen. I think you should see. It's pretty funny. A little over the top in a couple of spots. Pretty violent, but also pretty entertaining. There's a kid in the movie that's great. And Ryan Gosling, who I do most of Ryan Gosling's stunt work, he's very funny.
Most of his stunt work?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you his body double, or yep. Do you actually do the stunts?
I do both.
Okay.
I'm his body double, and I do most of his stunts. He's a tad fragile. Father's Day is coming up on Sunday. As you know, U.S. Open is this week. Tomorrow, we'll have our U.S. Open picks. If we are back from Kurt Byram, will Kurt Byram from NBC Sports and the Golf Channel be joining us?
We haven't heard back from him yet, but yeah, he'll join us in the next couple of days.
All right, we'll get Kurt on. and then Father's Day weekend is always the same weekend as the U.S. Open. Dave, you and I both know, as fathers, that this is the add-on holiday. This is the holiday where Mother's Day caught on. Mm-hmm. You guys, look up when Father's Day started compared to when Mother's Day started. Because Mother's Day, huge hit for obvious reasons. We should celebrate moms. At some point they went, we should probably do something for the fathers, I guess.
Okay, but here's my dilemma. Father's Day is my wife's birthday this year.
Oh, so you don't even get that.
Well,
you don't even get the day.
I'm not looking at it that way.
No, I love your wife. Your wife's listening right now. No, I love your wife. Your wife's fantastic, but this means you don't even get your day.
Well, no, she wants to make it Father's Day, and I'm saying, no, it's your birthday. Well, I don't need Father's Day.
Did you guys, wait, here's an aside. You can use this over her. Father's Day started before Mother's Day.
No.
Yes. Well, this is according to the wiki. I'm telling you.
Nah, not possible.
Father's Day, yeah, I got 1910, that too. A Father's Day celebration was held in Spokane, Washington at a YMCA. It was the first celebration of Father's Day, June 19th, 1910.
Well, fathers in 1910 didn't even know they had children.
That's
he just came
true.
Home and said, keep the small creatures from bothering me.
And guess who?
Here's the bacon I just brought home.
And guess who proclaimed Mother's Day, the official holiday? Your guy.
Oprah?
Woodrow Wilson.
Oh, Woodrow Wilson.
1914.
Why is my guy Woodrow Wilson?
Wasn't that? Oh, no.
No, 1972.
No, 1914, Woodrow Wilson signed the proclamation creating Mother's Day as the second Sunday in May as a national holiday to honor mothers.
That was when, 1914?
1914.
Find it very hard to believe that Father's Day was first.
Well, why not? Because when everybody who ruled was a guy.
I suppose so.
But then you're going to get other people arguing now because then, you know, somebody else said actually it was 1908. But according to the wiki, it's 1910 and then 1910.
And Wikipedia is never wrong. We know that.
Right. Of course not.
You know, there's a guy that used to be in management here who edited his own Wikipedia page.
Yeah, I know.
You're not supposed to edit your own Wikipedia page.
You're not supposed to create your own page, are you?
No. No. Supposed to be independent. All right, so here's a few things, Dave. Tell me if you want any of these for Father's Day. A car headlight restorer. Cost you $9.
Restorer?
Aging vehicles prone to developing a haze over the headlights with grime and stuff. Mm-hmm. A car headlight restorer. Turtle Wax offers it. $8.49. You can buy it at Amazon.
Can I just go get my car washed?
You won't get the haze off that way.
No.
Get a little work into it.
It's still not high on my list.
All right. How about a Da Vinci Junior 3D printer for $349?
I have a printer.
No, a 3D printer.
Oh, a 3D printer.
That would be cool.
Well, that would be kind of cool. Yeah.
So you could print stuff at home that you wanted, you know, a 3D copy of.
Like kale.
Or your butt. Yeah, you know, you print a copy of your butt.
Why would you want a 3D butt?
Because it's funny.
Yeah, that actually has possibilities.
This is why Father's Days are dumb.
Wow.
A projection alarm clock, $29.99. Smartphones have made the night table alarm clock kind of an endangered species, but there's still something dads may want. And maybe you don't want to take your phone to bed with you. There's a large screen display, but the projection feature throws a digital readout on the wall or the ceiling at whatever time your alarm is scheduled to go off.
I would like that, I think.
Be kind of annoying. It'd be a little bit annoying.
I think it would be.
Would it really help you guys?
You know what?
I would lie awake all night watching the ceiling.
Yeah, you know what? At 4 a.m., everything's annoying. How about yard dice?
Oh, I've seen those.
It's different than horseshoes. Handcrafted dice to roll in your yard. Each is made from solid pine.
Oh, no, I was thinking of a different
set of six. Also comes with a manual detailing rules for various games. They're oversized. Yard dice, $50.
Remember we had those...
You're on a craps game with Grandpa right out there in the yard.
Yeah, remember we used those oversized dice when we played golf at Medina with Dr. Most?
Yeah.
We got to roll those
inflatable
big dice.
Inflatable dice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are cool.
Baseball glove oven mitt, $14.99.
Baseball glove...
It's okay. Kind of generic.
Amazon Echo, $180. Is this the same as Alexa?
Yeah, we have it. I have it already.
You love it, right?
I do. I don't know.
DeCastro has one, too.
I bought that for my wife for Mother's Day.
But you love it.
For Valentine's Day. Yeah.
You can buy anything off your phone. It's you know that Alec Baldwin commercial? Yes. Alexa, what's this, what's that? It's like Siri, but on a Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah. Oh. And so you could say, Alexa, play classic rock.
Right, but now you can call an Uber with it. You can order a pizza through it. Mm-hmm. You know, basically any app you link to it, Alexa can get it done.
Yes.
And it's through voice recognition?
It's like Siri. It works the same way as Siri.
Well, why wouldn't you just keep Siri and save the money?
Well, because you might not have your phone on you.
You just want Alexa.
No.
Yeah. When I'm grilling, I say, Alexa, start a timer for 10 minutes.
And it works.
And she says, starting timer for 10 minutes. Yeah.
You guys are such men. You really are.
If I had one of these, I'd go, Alexa, wake me up from my third nap of the day in 30 minutes. And she'd go, seriously, get up and move around. do you know what a Chilsner is?
Okay, no. It's got to do with a Pilsner, I'm guessing.
There you go, Beery.
Well, what Beery. Else could it be?
You'll never have to endure a lukewarm beer again with Chilsner. It's a 9-inch steel rod with a cooling gel that keeps bottled beer ice cold. Just stick it in the freezer and then insert it into the standard bottle. The turn top makes for an airtight seal and your beer stays cold.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Do you really want cooling gel in your beer?
Or a rod?
Well, is it actually in the beer itself?
The rod,
yeah,
I think so. Yeah. How about a keyport slide? Tired of feeling like a maintenance worker? The keyport from ThinkGeek takes the clanking jumble of keys on your chain and converts them into a single-handle slide port that deploys keys as well as a light or even a flash drive. You'll never hear them coming again.
I actually saw this the other day at RibFest.
Does it work?
Yeah. I mean, I think they had all
kinds. You got like 90 sets of keys on it, and the right keys come out at the right time?
I think that's what they were showing us, yeah.
And an eyeglasses holder. Sitting down a pair of glasses can quickly evolve into a search for your glasses. The decorative statuette keeps them in plain sight when not in use. Or I come up with a system. I don't wear glasses, but like my keys, my wallet, I set them. Are you ready? You want to write this down?
Yeah.
On the step. The steps that go upstairs. Yeah. I set them on the steps. Every single time, and now I know where they are.
What? You put them in the same place
every time.
Okay, but...
Why bring logic into it?
Here's a recommendation. Don't put your glasses there if you did wear glasses.
Yeah. Alexa, where can I get new glasses? Because I just stepped on them.
The rod in your beer is warm.
Alexa, the cooling gel beer of mine is ready.
No, she tells you that.
Alexa, get me a beer. I can't get up. I'm a speaker.
I know what I'm getting you guys.
It's 9:20. The Steve Cochran Show continues next on 720 WGN. . 9:23, amidst all the bad news in the world, know that Chicago has become one of the great technological hubs in the nation and the world. You know, Grzanich does a good job of this in the business hour at 5 a.m. in partnership with what's going on at 1871. We have a good relationship with Howard Tolman as well. And I've invited Howard Tolman to come in and do an hour with us to talk about some of the stuff he's up to.
That'd be so great.
I mean, Howard's not a kid anymore. He's got more energy than any kid you could find.
Howard gives the best presentation, too. You know, when you watch a PowerPoint sometimes, it gets boring. His presentations could go on for hours, and he's so interesting.
Northwestern University had something called the Venture Challenge recently, and each winner in the Venture Challenge, it's the 8th annual, went home with a $20,000 prize for some sort of innovation that they came up with. We want to congratulate Alexei Mladenov, who joins us now. Alexei, do I have your last name correct?
you do have my last name correct, unlike the vast majority of people in the world.
All right, so explain to people what Surgenet is.
So Surgenet is a synthetic, absorbable mesh, a surgical mesh, that can be used for a variety of applications, but primarily for breast reconstruction. So after a woman has a mastectomy for breast cancer, which unfortunately afflicts many, many women, over 1 in 8 in their lifetime, often they can get significant psychological benefits from reconstructing that breast. Most commonly, that's done with a synthetic implant of the type that you'd imagine for a breast augmentation, just a little bit bigger. And this is a mesh that can support and control the position of that implant as the body kind of heals around it.
And it replaces the old way of looking at this and thinking about it, which does what for the patient?
So for the patient, it has the potential to decrease complications in the long run with a lower incidence of infections, erosions, other terrible things that we hate to see these patients go through after they've gone through the emotional burden of the diagnosis and treatment in the first place.
So what got you interested in this? Are you a doctor in waiting? What's your background here?
I like that term, doctor in waiting. Mm-hmm. That's probably the best term to describe me. So I came to Northwestern Medical School just fascinated by plastic surgery, by the kind of constant innovation and creativity in both the techniques and in the devices that were coming out in that space. So through my career at medical school in the first few years, I got connected with a really kind of leading mind in the field, Dr. John Kim at Northwestern Memorial Hospital, and basically did a lot of research with him, got deeper and deeper into breast reconstruction specifically, and after getting my MBA at Kellogg, I decided that this was a good thing to pursue before jumping back into school and finishing up my doctorate.
By the way, he is in med school, and he's got an MBA at Kellogg going, so obviously Alexi's a slacker. Andrea, say hi.
Alexi, hi. Love the concept of Nuvention. Talk about the process. So say you come up with either a technique or a device, whatever it might be. Do you have to get that patented? I mean, there are a whole bunch of steps and legal things that you have to do just to get whatever it is approved.
Yeah, and is it different for medicine?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we're fortunate here at Northwestern and the Northwestern community in general, whether you're talking about Kellogg or McCormick, the engineering school, or Feinberg School of Medicine, we have a really good support system for innovation in multiple ways. One of those is with respect to intellectual property. So something like this is essentially patented through what we call a tech transfer office at Northwestern. So they help with the filings. They have really expert lawyers who kind of walk you through the process and in the end kind of get the patent filed. And now if your faculty, as the inventor in this case is, the intellectual property is assigned to Northwestern. But because they are so interested in fostering innovation and helping the community really commercialize their good ideas, the kind of first right of refusal on licensing of that patent typically goes to the inventor or a designee. So that's us in this case.
What fires you up more now, the innovation part of this or the medicine part?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
I said, what fires you personally up more at this point, the innovation part of what you're doing or the medicine part?
Oh, that's a tough question and a question that I will offend one side of the table, no matter how I answer it, unfortunately.
Right. You can go politician if you like and just go, I love them both, Steve.
Exactly. I love them both is definitely the answer. I think this innovation is right in line with a field that I love, plastic surgery, reconstructive surgery. And so it's great to be able to see something taken all the way from a concept in the mind of a leading surgeon all the way to a commercialized product. So it's great whether I'm in the operating room or in the boardroom, so to speak. It's just great to experience both sides.
Congratulations. Congratulations on the cash award, but mostly congratulations on doing something that really seems like it could change the way we do things medically and really help a lot of people. So keep up the fine work. I'm sure you have many innovations ahead.
Thank you. From your lips to God's ears.
There you go. Alexi. All Alexi does is med school and business school and, you know, he could do the full circle and actually get a law degree, and then at some point he can handle any sort of disputes with himself.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Alexi Miladinov. Very impressive young man. Winner, and as I said, Howard Tolman scheduled to appear soon from 1871. We'll come back at the big story. We've got another Orlando recap for you before 10 on the way. Orrin Samuelson, catch up with Orrin. And David Hochberg has a seminar this week that we want to tell you about, so he'll be in to talk about that. Is Wendy back today?
Wendy is back today.
All right, Bill and Wendy at 10 on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Lena's birthday approaching. She's dropping hints of what she would like. Ole doesn't get the message, and finally, in frustration, Ole says, Lena, what do you really want? Lena says, well, I want something bright and shiny that can go from 0 to 225 in 2 seconds. So Ole bought her a bathroom scale.
The comedy stylings of Orrin Samuelson on display with regularity. How many Ole and Lena jokes do you know?
Oh, probably 500, and I keep getting them via email from people across the country. There are no new Ole Lena jokes. They're all 20 years old, and we bring them back every 20 years, and you think they're new. But, you know, every ethnic group has their married couple. The Irish have Pat and Mike, and the Italians, Gina and Giuseppe, and we have Ole and Lena. And there was an Ole, my grandfather, was Ole Samuelson.
But he wasn't, he's not the reason for the jokes.
No, he's not. No.
Was he funny?
I never met him. He died 10 years before I was born.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I never met him. What's new on the farm?
Well, you know, I keep talking about common sense out the window, and there's something that happened in the Northeast that's getting a lot of attention in emails and social media. Quickly, the story. A year ago in July, a windstorm moved through Vermont, toppled a tree that fell on a fence surrounding a cattle pasture, and a beef bull, moved out of the pasture, went through the opening in the fence onto a highway, and was struck by a car that contained a couple from Connecticut. He was killed. His wife survived and recovered. And it was a case of an accident until about 2 weeks ago, when it's now become a crime. The prosecutor in the county, whose name, interestingly enough, is Rose Kennedy, the prosecutor went to the grand jury and convinced them that the farmer should be charged with involuntary manslaughter for letting his bull get onto the highway.
Now, what part of the world this is? Vermont?
Vermont, yeah. You know, there's
God bless the family and the guy that died, but come on.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what everybody else is saying. And if you're not a farmer, think about this for a moment. If this one becomes reality and actually happens, where the farmer, he could go to jail for 15 years on this involuntary manslaughter. What if you had a dog that ran into the street?
Or a
and
cat
the car
or a
swerved?
Kid.
Yeah. And a car swerved to miss the dog and killed somebody. Do you get charged with involuntary manslaughter because your dog ran across the street?
I'm amazed that's even gone this far.
Well, I am too, and so is everybody else on the social media who's writing about this. But farmers and pet owners particularly will be watching this one carefully to see if it gets thrown out or if it goes on. But at the moment, the farmer has been charged by a grand jury with involuntary manslaughter for the bull walking through a down fence a year ago.
I got to tell you, I mean, I grew up in dairy farm country in upstate New York, and,
right.
You know, it's rolling hills.
Yeah,
and you know, once I got my driver's license, I hit deer twice,
right?
But I almost hit cows on two or three occasions, because there are occasions where there's a breach in the fence, and a cow is not the smartest animal on the planet, and they're going to go for a little walk.
They're looking for greener pastures.
Yes, they are. But I remember once going from 50 to 0 very quickly and stopping about a foot and a half short of the cow, and the cow was just looking at me like, look, I'll be out of your way in just a minute.
Yeah.
But the point being, even to this day, and this is, what, 40 years later, when I'm driving in farm country, anywhere in the country, I pay attention.
You have to. For two things. Animals that move onto the roadway and slow-moving farm equipment
right.
that legally has a right to be on the roadway and is probably doing 60 miles an hour slower than you are.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
You have to be careful. Yes.
How are we doing on the markets today?
Markets today, waiting for the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee to conduct its two-day meeting. I don't find anyone who says we'll get an interest rate hike at this meeting. But tomorrow afternoon at about 1 o'clock Chicago time, Fed Chair Janet Yellen will announce the results of the meeting. You can know for sure that every analyst will be looking at every word she says to see if there will be an interest rate hike in July, or more people now think it will be September. So.
All right, my friend. Right. Great catching up with you as always. Please say hi to Gloria.
I will do that. She celebrated a big birthday this year with a surprise party last week, and we had a good time.
And happy birthday to her, and listen to your husband. He's smarter than he looks. I'll talk to you later. That's okay. Big O, and the Steve Cochran Show continues next with our friend David Hochberg. Got a couple important things to tell you about after we come back from this.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house with two cats in the yard. Life used to be so hard.
David Hochberg's here. How are things at Pearl Mortgage?
Outstanding. I want to thank you, first off, for the tip, for the Father's Day tip.
Which Father's Day tip?
For the golf clubs. You told me to get a P1 driver and Callaway irons or some driver. I would begin with the one, ended in a one. M1.
Oh, the M1.
M1, P, MP.
P1, no. TaylorMade M1.
Right. Yeah. And my three girls don't have a job, so Ross is buying them for me. So
fantastic.
I wanted to thank you.
You know, Ross is not available this weekend for Father's Day, so we had fake Father's Day on Saturday. And Sandberg was suggesting that maybe Ross was with you and your family.
Well, he was. And he presented me with, that's why I'm thanking you. He presented me, my kids are 13, 11, and 8. They don't have a job.
No.
And Ross now has a job. He didn't have a job before he came to me either. So he he's able now to afford the golf cart.
You're a horrible person.
Yes. I just wanted to thank you for that.
That's what friends are for.
No problem.
David Hochberg getting it done. Mm-hmm. All right. Tell me what you're doing this week.
This week on Thursday, I've teamed up with a corporation called the Heritage Institute. It's a 501c3 non-for-profit organization that does financial education. And one of their representatives was at our seminar, credit enhancement seminar in Zanies in St. Charles last month that said, this is great. We love the partnership. Create a partnership with you. I'm like, sure. So I always get the question, how do I plan? How do I create a budget? How do I save for college? How do I save for retirement? And that's not my specialty, right? My specialty is helping people get in a home. So what we're doing is we created a financial empowerment seminar this Thursday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Oak Brook Financial Center, okay, which is located in Oak Brook Terrace. You could go to WGNDavid.com to register. It's free. But again, limited seating. There's only 175 seats. We already have over 65 people registered. So it's filling up. And typically,
I'm sure
it'll
sell out.
It sell out for free. So you get just.
Well, sell out meaning no
seats. Well, yeah. You know, there's limited seats. And, you know, we're just encouraging people to. It's in Oak Brook Terrace, a lot closer than St. Charles. And we're encouraging people to go to learn about how to enhance their credit, what credit is all about. This is for a lot of people, Steve, are bringing their kids. A lot of people are bringing their college kids and their high school kids to learn about credit, and also their kids that are 20, 22, 23 years old that just graduated college to learn about credit and enhance their credit.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, that's what we're doing this Thursday. So go to WGNDavid.com, WGNDavid.com to get to sign up for the seminar.
What about your number at work?
312-751-1333. And also, we are teaming with the Illinois Firefighters Association. You're going to love this. I'm going to come back to
firefighters you. Firefighters or fighter fighters?
Firefighters Association. Say that quick 10 times and have your finger on the dump button.
You keep this up. Ross is leaving.
Exactly. Yeah. That's fine. Illinois Firefighter Association and Local 2, the Chicago Firefighters. We're teaming up with them. We're sponsoring a car giveaway for a wounded warrior.
Oh, that's great.
So we're looking for funds. They're giving away a car to a wounded warrior during the Northern Illinois football game at the Cell in November. So we're going to have a donation button that people could give and help us pay for the car. But we've already donated a large chunk of money for the car. I just want to get a little sunshine on that. Also teaming with that those two organizations to have boxes drop off at the firehouses so people could do toy drives, right? So if you want to drop...
Get an early start on the fall.
If you want to get an early start on the fall. So we're going to be dropping boxes off in fire stations. Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage at all the firehouses. So if you're a local fire captain or commander and want a box to collect toys for local needy kids, let me know and we will provide a box for free.
WGNDavid.com.
WGNDavid.com. Just send me an email.
Well, where do you donate? Not to toys, but where do you donate money to the car thing?
We're going to have that set up. It's in November, so we don't want to go out too far.
I see. Okay. So you let me know when it's ready.
I'll let you know. Tim O'Brien of Local 2, who's in charge of publicity at Local 2, is going to come in. I'm going to schedule something with Mary to talk about it and just try to get as much money as we can to put a wounded warrior into a car.
Speaking of warriors, before we run out of time, one last thing. You know, I've said this a million times about Hochberg. Nobody's more patriotic. And nobody wants to give back more to fighting men and women and their families. And you're always interested in vets who come home and either need work or are interested in learning the mortgage business or the financial business in general. So even if you have a job or don't have a job, if somebody needs some guidance in that area or obviously needs financial guidance, just call you.
Yeah, please. And we're hiring again. I mean, you know, Ross and Abby and Ernesto, the three people we hired a couple of months ago, are working their way through the system. And I'm going to need people on the processing end to learn our business, to learn the processing end. So we are hiring. Please send resumes to david@perldavid.com. We're splitting into four teams. You know, we're growing so fast, and Ross is learning so fast that he's taken his test and his training in August. No pressure that he has to pass the test.
Sure, you know,
we'll give his score.
Otherwise, you throw him on the street.
Or else he'll be, you know, at the bottom of an off-ramp. And so, you know, the bottom line is this. We are looking to hire qualified people. Uh-huh. A veteran is even just a more special hire. Just send resumes to David@perldavid, or just go to WGNDavid and send me resumes. Love to hire qualified people to learn the processing side of our business.
All right, stick around. I'm going to do your commercial now. You can tell me if I make any mistakes.
Sure.
If you want to learn to enhance your credit and plan for your financial future, how am I doing so far?
So far, you're not bad.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
You need to attend David Hochberg's Heartland Institute for Financial Education Financial Empowerment Seminar. It's Thursday night at the Oakbrook Financial Center. Where's that again?
It's this Thursday night. You missed that. It's this Thursday night.
This Thursday night. It's
June
16th.
I'm glad I'm here to critique you. This Thursday night, June 16th, 1 Trans Am Avenue in Oakbrook Terrace.
Well, what building is it?
It's in the Trans Am building.
I don't know where that is.
It's in Oakbrook Terrace.
Okay.
Yeah. One Trans Am Drive.
Yeah, you just put it in your Google Maps situation.
In Google Maps, yes.